What's in a name? I always liked, when I came here, to understand, because I thought, no, there's a lot of churches around by the name of Bethel. In fact, a little church up in Pavo, Georgia, was named Bethel, that I had ministered to some people up there, and they wanted me to perform the wedding ceremony, and lo and behold, it was Bethel Preliminary Baptist Church. And so all of them wondered about Bethel. We got a couple of Bethels in town. We got an AME Bethel, and we got another one downtown by the name of Bethel, and then we got Bethel United Methodist Church. Well, Bethel simply means house of God. And I remember by thinking about this Bethel thing, that it was both comforting pastoral-wise and kind of theologically inadequate at the same time, because much of the Old Testament is shaped by incorrect human assumption that God is exclusively in a specific location, and that we can't get to the proximity of God. But we try. We try to go to that location. Even with the Ark of the Covenant, that's where God was, and all of that. And the temple, that's where, and the church, that's where God is, so we gotta go to church. But the never-ending Middle East battles over that little strip of land near the Mediterranean Sea are similarly shaped by the same assumption. God cannot be contained within four walls or a roof. So how do we know that? God made everything. King David, who wrote most of the Psalms, in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, said this: "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." God is simply too big for a house. And the psalmist reminds us of that. Even the entire universe, with all its galaxies and all of the stuff, cannot contain God's majesty. I think, and that's just me, I'm a thinker, I think that's what Jesus is trying to explain to the disciples in that red letter edition in John's Gospel for today, as he prophesies about the coming of the Holy Spirit and his relationship to the Spirit and to the Father on this special day we call Trinity Sunday. He tells them that he has taught them all that he can for now, because their heads would explode if he tried to tell them everything that was going on. It would simply be too much for them to handle. Too much for them to handle. Well, I think sometimes we're that way. There was a court case on a military court-martial, and they got the guy to come to the stand, and the prosecutor kept pushing him and pushing him and pushing him, and he said, "You got to answer these questions." And the guy simply says, "Sir, if I told you the truth, you couldn't handle it." So I'm fine. Sometimes that's the way life is. That the truth, sometimes if we know it, we couldn't handle it. But, I love the buts, the Holy Spirit that will be coming upon them, the disciples and us, teach them and illuminate the truth to them in gradual ways that will lead them into the right directions. And he made sure to add that this Spirit would be his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Now, the Spirit cannot speak on its own. It can only relay what Jesus wants to say, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. Now, we have someone trying to explain a complex math problem sometimes, and if I get a complex one, I'll go to Phil, because he knows all about that. Now, you were a math teacher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows. Or a philosophical problem, or a dilemma. You go to somebody that knows, because sometimes trying to figure these things out on your own makes your head hurt. Now, Donnie got some family up in Thomasville that owned Mom and Dad's Italian restaurant up there, and they Italian, and he likes to go up there sometimes, and they get to talking in Italian, and he don't know what you're doing, but they go to this, to this. Well, there's an Italian word sometimes is basta, basta. And if you talk about Brooklyn English, it simply means enough already. That's all it means. Enough already. Well, interestingly, this kind of word that Jesus used to in John's Gospel to explain what we are trying to really comprehend, he says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear it now. One of my favorite movies was My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Anybody see My Big Fat Greek Wedding? I love it. I love it. The guy with the Windex, everything. Oh, yeah. And he, well, I think one of the most humorous elements of that whole movie was the Greek father constantly saying in the midst of his daughter, rolling her eyes. He would say, give me a word, any word, and I will show you how the root of that word is Greek. Well, that works for the Italian word also, basta, because the Greek word is actually bastine, and the word that John uses here in that passage is bastine, a Greek verb, means to tolerate, to handle, to bear, to endure, comprehend, sustain mentally, or even carry as a burden. Some things about God and Jesus are simply over our head. Mine too. I'm still a work in process. In Jesus' time, though, when the time had come, we know that last week on Pentecost Sunday, much more still had to come. The Holy Spirit was come, the promised Holy Spirit, but even today, we need the Holy Spirit in order to wrap our heads around God. The identity of Jesus and his appearance on the earth and his ascension into heaven, his resurrection, and more importantly, God's truth, God's grace, God's all-inspiring creation. So if you look around, or you go outside tonight, or even today during the daylight time, and you take a good look around you, we can take in so much of the grandeur of the world and in our lives. And it's really mind-boggling, overpowering sometimes, because it becomes so familiar. We take a look at these little tiny things in which the world is made. The delicate balance of things. I love to watch bugs sometimes. I know I'm weird, but watching bugs, how intricate they are and how they go about things. And then Judy gets me to go get the bugs ready to get rid of them. But watch a bug sometimes. You wonder, what in the world are they doing? Especially the mosquitoes. Them things I still don't understand about mosquitoes. But there's so much that we cannot fathom about God and his creation, or God's relationship with us, and the extremity of God's passion for us in creation. So what do we know? And what becomes all important on this day we call Trinity Sunday is to the extent of our faith. You know, comfort and faith are synonymous. I got on my nameplate on my desk over there, Joyce Meyer, one of my favorite all-time women preachers. She had preached a message about confidence one time, and she would send, if you called and asked for it, they would send you a little sticker that simply says confidence. And I put that on the back of my nameplate, and I put it on there when I was still in the car business. And then I come to find out that that word confidence really helps me with my faith, because faith and confidence in God are synonymous. So what do we know? Why is this all important on the day that we call Trinity Sunday? It's an extent of our faith. But what we cannot see, what we cannot imagine, mentally or even comprehend or handle, becomes the essence of our faith. And when our own limitations bind us, we must trust in God, in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit sent to guide us in this life and beyond, to teach us to follow even when we don't understand, even when we do not know the destination. You see, unlike God's mysterious message to Nebuchadnezzar, talking about Persia and some of the stuff way back when, God's message to Nebuchadnezzar on the writing on the wall, remember Belshazzar, the feast, Jesus sends his Holy Spirit not as a prophetic warning, but as a loving Savior who will guide us on the path to take, the mission to uphold, to truth, and to embrace, and the revelations to recognize in our midst that he is here. So now as we enter into the season of Pentecost, the season that will run in the church year from now until all the way into the fall, We will be given time to learn to trust in the Spirit of Christ, to honor His truth, to become aware of God's presence around us and accept and discern our mission as disciples, modern-day disciples, in the church, in our communities, and beyond. And the more we pay attention to the teaching and the guidance of the Spirit, that was 12 o'clock, right? We need to take it step by step, declaring basta. Things just seem to be too much. And then continuing to stand in awe in God's amazing glory, immersing ourselves in God's presence in prayer, in Scripture, and allowing the Spirit to take our hands and to guide us towards our future. And that's the call that God has for all of us. In a sense, when it comes to God and faith, we can all imagine ourselves in a time of wondering, what's this all about? I think the most important thing for all of us is to recognize that though we may not see clearly through the midst and the mystery of God's grace, we can't deny that it's not there. It's here all around us, enfolding us, enveloping us in peace, and empowering us with love. Jesus said we gotta love one another. He said, I give you a new commandment. That's what you gotta do. You gotta love one another, but you don't have to like them. But you gotta love them, and you don't have to go fishing with them, but we gotta love them. So my prayer for all of us during this whole Pentecostal season is that the vast mysteries of God and that the words of Jesus Christ and the hope that lies in the revelation of truth given to us by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that this may move all of us in our faith from Bastia to Magnifico. What a wonderful thing to say the magnificence of God. Sandy Patty was on the radio singing this morning one of my all-time favorite songs from the song, Oh, how majestic is your name, O Lord. So, I know enough of Greek and enough of Latin and enough of Hebrew and enough of English to be dangerous, but I do know one thing about it. Enough already. Let's just keep on keeping our eyes on the mark of the high calling in Jesus' name.